Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly episode 5th May 2021. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing, rehumanizing your marketing experience. My name is Sean. This week's news, Facebook will soon let users follow interests. The company has been testing a new way for users to interact with their news feeds. For the longest time now, we follow and engage with users and pages. So with friends, people we like, and pages of companies that we follow. So then, when we follow all these, what happens is that Facebook will show us the updates from these people. So what Facebook is trying to do now is they are trying to get us to follow interests instead. If you don't already, you should be able to, maybe soon you'll be able to see Facebook recommending topics that you may like to follow. There will also be a new business discovery element that will show you other businesses you may like to follow. So let's say when you are discovering businesses or when you are looking at businesses, then they will, as you're scrolling down, there will be this section where they will show you a card with a bunch of businesses they think you should follow based on the businesses that you are following right now. We should actually be seeing a lot more suggested posts creeping up between regular feeds on our news feed. By moving into topic-based engagement, Facebook will be able to keep an eye on our interests even after the iOS 14.5's ATT implementation. But seeing how we've been interacting with our news feeds in a traditional way of whoever we follow and then we see their content, it will be quite interesting to see how Facebook will try to change our ways. It is quite an interesting idea because right now we've been following people, right, and pages, people and businesses. But if we follow topics, it will be kind of like what Google Plus used to do. You are interested in a topic, you follow a topic, and then they will show you content that is created by other people who you don't follow, other businesses who you don't follow, other groups who you don't follow, based on the interests that you are following. Then the discovery is there, you're able to find more new things and get hooked on and stay hooked on the social media for a longer time. And the other thing also I would say, it has to do with the ability for Facebook to continue to keep track of our interests and then show us ads without having to collect them from the phone itself. So we will see if this becomes a thing. I believe that Facebook is trying to do a lot of, will be trying to do a lot of new stuff in order to compensate for this lack of data collection that it will be happening in the coming weeks and months. And something like this, these kinds of experimental stuff will be propping up. Do you use LinkedIn emails a lot? These tips might help. LinkedIn published a report that will help anyone who use email. Whether you use it to reach potential employees, collaborations, or just want to connect, these are the data from LinkedIn from the past that may help you in the future. Number one, shorter emails have higher response rates. Emails that have between 200 to 400 characters generate 16% above average response rates. The rate drops as the number of characters increase, all the way down to 18% below average when mails have over 1,400 characters. But over 90% of all emails are actually longer than 400 characters, which is also one of the contributors to why response rates are low. If you are short and concise, two things will happen. Number one, it's more personal and people will be more willing to pay attention and read out the whole thing without having to use a lot of their time. Number two, because it's not the same as everybody else, so it feels as if, hey, this one kind of like puts them in a shock and say, okay, I'm interested in this because it's short. So then you will get higher response rates. So if you want to write emails, you need to write them short. And the best way to do it is to customize your emails for every single person that you're writing to and not write a template, just copy and pasting. Number two, weekdays are better for sending emails. If we don't already know this, because it is a fact, LinkedIn is a for work social media platform and therefore people use it during work days. So yeah, LinkedIn is reinforcing this fact that we already know. A graph by LinkedIn says that email sent between Monday and Thursday will receive around 2% above average response rate. Fridays will drop to below 2%. Sunday rates are below 3%. Saturdays are minus 13%. So if you want to send emails, make sure it's between Monday to Thursday. If you want to, you can go Friday, but don't touch Sunday and Saturdays. Number three, users with open to work labels respond better. LinkedIn introduced a label that can be attached to our profile images, I think it was last year, signifying that we are interested in either getting more freelance jobs or looking for employment. It makes sense because if they already tell you that they are interested in looking for work, then they are more inclined to respond to emails that come in looking for collaborations or giving you opportunities for work and employment and things like that. So if you are actively using LinkedIn email for recruiting or seeking out collaborations, these data from LinkedIn may help you increase your chances. Snap buys Pixel 8 Earth to expand its AR power. Snap is all about building a social media platform with groundbreaking AR capabilities, and it thinks 3D mapping company Pixel 8 Earth can help do that. Pixel 8 Earth is a crowdsourced and perpetually updating map, which merges both terrestrial and aerial data into a single model. Terrestrial being from your mobile devices, aerial being from satellites or something from the air, aerial. The result is a spatial model that stitches itself from thousands of angles into one major 3D map. By taking data from multiple mobile devices from users, it is able to construct a 3D version of things like a Petronas Twin Tower or the Eiffel Tower. From there, Snap will provide the schematics to AR lens makers to overlay their creativity onto these iconic structures. So let's say, for example, if you want to do something of the Buckingham Palace, which is the one that we saw that I was able to see on the video when I was researching this article, that users can actually, AR lens makers can actually, they have the mold to create specific AR lenses to be applied on to the Buckingham Palace itself. So it's superbly customized, and every single iconic building has a different layout, a different design, a different shape, a different height and everything. So what Snap is doing with Pixel 8 Earth is to be able to use its technology to crowdsource everybody who's taking photos or videos with the background or of that building itself from all angles, and it's able to stitch everything into one giant 3D map. And then from there, AR lens makers can actually make AR filters and they will look quite amazing. So, these apps will keep improving as more and more people contribute to by taking photos and videos of those locations. Couple that with the company's upcoming glasses that will be, they say, a proper first dive into the AR world. Snap is actually, seems like, as if they're working hard to marry AR in the real world. So it is nice to see that Snap has found its direction and USP and niche. And the key here is just to be able to reach there and eventually, ultimately, be able to reach out to the masses. So everybody's pushing for AR, and Snap's idea of doing it is actually quite amazing. Facebook pushes ahead for full end-to-end encryption for its messaging apps. We heard a long time ago that Facebook has planned to implement end-to-end to all its messaging apps, which includes WhatsApp, Messenger, and Instagram Direct. We know WhatsApp is already end-to-end, but Messenger and Instagram Direct are not end-to-end encrypted. But there has been a lot of setbacks, especially with authorities from all over the world claiming that this will make it harder to police the underground markets and catch criminals. So the implementation has been in limbo for a while Facebook tries to find a solution that will please users and authorities. We know that users want end-to-end encryption, they want privacy, but authorities don't want it because they are afraid that a lot of things will go underground. Because it has already been done, right? Signal, Telegram, Snap has been used for drug trading and, you know, all this kind of sex trading and human trafficking, things like that, because it can't be traced. There are a lot of arguments in the air as to the interests of Facebook. with this end-to-end implementation, it could make it a lot easier for Facebook to answer for privacy issues by saying they don't have access to anything, so don't ask us. So Facebook has been in hot soup many times because of data privacy breaches and selling of our third-party, selling of our data to third-party companies and things like that. So the best way Facebook thinks it can protect itself is just to not have all this data. And then when the authorities come and ask them, they say, I don't have it. I don't have the key to it. I got nothing. So you don't come and ask me. So that's what they're planning to do. Well, that is one of the motivations we assume that Facebook is going for. Facebook could also be motivated by end-to-end because of business potentials, because that's what people want. People are very into privacy now, which is why in the past year, Apple devices have been outselling all the other brands because solely on privacy. But how will it answer to allegations that drug, sex, and human trafficking will greatly benefit from this? We only know that since nobody can give a definite answer, Facebook got tired of it. Like, you know, because both sides, Facebook has to answer to the users, they have to answer to authorities, and nobody is coming up with alternatives, and all they do is, you can't do this, you can't do this, do that, I want this, I want that. Instead of saying, why don't you try doing this, why don't you try doing that? So Facebook got tired and said, you know what, we don't care anymore. Okay, we're deciding to continue with its initial plans, and we will be fully implementing end-to-end for all their messaging apps by the end of 2022. Facebook attempts to scare users by giving away their data. Scare users into giving away their data. Apple has been rolling out its controversial iOS 14.5 Apple transparency tracking. I don't remember if it was tracking transparency or transparency tracking. Either one, it's ATT. That will allow users to block all data tracking from apps like Facebook for a week now. In the prompt pop-up, which you can see before you either allow or disallow, Facebook has been seen trying to appeal to both our humanity and wallets. The notice stated that opting in would, quote, help keep Facebook free of charge, and, quote, support businesses that rely on ads to reach their customers. In my opinion, both are true, because I say that again and again, if you want privacy, you have to pay with your wallet. You either pay with your data or you pay with your wallet. There's no third way around. Or at least at this point, the third way hasn't been found yet, right? And the second part is advertisements help support businesses. And most importantly, it helps small businesses be able to reach out to their customers and be able to survive in this, especially in this pandemic times. So both are true, but Facebook is also kind of like scaring us into this, and it really comes down to what you want. At the end of the day, I understand from the privacy perspective. I also understand from the advertising perspective. So either way, at the end of the day, it is up to you whether you want to flip the switch or not. It is also true that we will take back control over our own data. Companies will eventually find alternatives to survive moving forward. So this is a point where there is a pressure now, right? The status quo is being disrupted, and it's either we revert back by companies who are not willing to, by the pressure of the companies who are not willing to move forward and say, okay, we have a good thing coming, and it's not perfect for you, but it's perfect for me. So I want you to come back to this state, because the alternative would be you have to pay, the alternative would be businesses will die. So the only other option now is either we take a step back and give our data away to someone again, for the sake of all these things that they said, or we be adamant, push forward, and then the businesses will find other alternatives to cover and find money for all these things. Because if Facebook eventually dies from this problem, which I'm sure it won't, but let's say if it dies from this problem, the new age social media will come knowing that this is the new status quo and build a new monetization method on top of this and be able to push forward. So now, at that next evolution of it, the social media will be able to make money, but not on top of our private data. And at the same time, we don't have to pay for it as well. So there has to be a way. It just hasn't been found yet. That's all for Social Media Weekly this week. Social Media Weekly is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube, and we post business clips on Instagram and Facebook. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 5th May 2021. My name is Sean. Stay safe. See you next week. Au revoir.